in the military, I knew I was going to see things and be a part of things that were much bigger than myself, just like you. But I learned to put them at the foot of the cross, to give them over to the Lord, that I could not handle them myself.
Welcome back to another episode of On the Ground with Samaritan's Purse, where we take you to the front lines and behind the scenes of our work around the world. I'm your host, Christy Graham, and in this episode, we're going to highlight an area of our ministry that transforms lives and gives military couples hope in Jesus Christ. This is through Operation Heal Our Patriots. If you've listened to the podcast or episode in the past on OHOP, you know that this aspect of the ministry is personal to me. My husband, Edward, has served in the Army for over 20 years, and we know firsthand how difficult military life can be. The moving across country, sometimes overseas, training, and not being in control of your own schedule can be challenging. But then there's war, and war changes people, whether it's the physical wounds that you can see or the invisible wounds. No one comes home the same. And marriage is often a casualty of war. Time apart can build hardness and independence that is difficult to rebuild. And then when you add a life-altering injury, chemical dependence or post-traumatic stress or a TBI, marriages went from difficult to impossible. But we know that nothing is impossible with God. And this week-long marriage retreat in Alaska gives couples godly counsel and biblical training to not only survive their marriage, but to thrive. And most importantly, they hear the transforming power of the gospel. And we see marriages go from divorce papers written to rededicating their vows and falling in love again. And so, as I said, it all starts in Alaska at a week-long marriage retreat. But then, through Operation Heal Our Patriots, we walk with these couples for life. And every year, we get together for an annual OHOP reunion. I just attended the reunion in Denver, and it is so fun and just wonderful to see these couples connecting, groups of friends laughing, and communities that have been built through OHOP. All of them hear the gospel in Alaska, but not everyone's ready to make a decision for Christ. But at the reunion this year, many were ready, and they came forward to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. And it always makes me teary to see someone surrender their life to Christ. And it's a joy to watch the soil of their heart go from rocky or thorny to good ground, ready to receive the gospel, as it talks about in Matthew 13. But leaving the reunion, these couples were still heavy on my heart. And although I don't know every single couple personally, I feel connected to each one. And so now I want to introduce you to a couple, Matt and Kayla Tecker. Matt enlisted in the Army right out of high school. He wanted to get out of his small town, and he loved the purpose and camaraderie that the military gave. And he and Kayla got married really young, and they faced a difficult deployment right away. And the effects of war and the military tempo, it took a toll on their marriage. And Matt's wounds were invisible, but they were difficult for him to heal and work through. But the week in Alaska provided the Tuckers with a chance to slow down, reconnect, and dedicate their lives to Christ. So let's start out by hearing Matt share what it was like getting out of the military.
When you're in the military, you create this identity. You create that name. That last name that you have on your chest is who everybody identifies you as. My whole identity that I was creating in this is just taken away. It's just poof. One day it's gone. Mm-hmm. And then you're at this op tempo from being in the military, 110 miles an hour, and then it's just to zero. You're stopped. You look around, it's like, where's all my friends? Where's all my battle buddies? I was still a Christian, still believed, but I wasn't as strong faith as I have been become in the last 6-7 months. But at the time, this was 2017, 2018, just running, just constantly running mentally, not literally, but just my mind was always racing, trying to stay ahead of the whiskey and the suicide or the, you know, just passing over to that extra.
You're running away from your feelings and your thoughts at that time.
Not enduring it, not being able to, because it was such an amount all at once. It was like drinking from a fire hose. And I just remember sitting on front porch. We put the kids on the bus. I come inside and I go to bed. 2:30, 3 o'clock, she would wake me up. We'd get the kids off the bus. I'd help them with their homework. Maybe say a couple words, put the kids to bed, go back to sleep. Mm-hmm. For I don't know how many months it was like that.
I describe it like living with a cardboard cutout. Mm-hmm. Like that's how it was for, it was almost a year. It was really, really hard and really sad. But he had started showing signs of anger, and he would get frustrated over silly things. I need you at least to go see somebody. And it was, it took a little while, but he did. And I've told him ever since he started going, I was like, if, as long as I see that you're trying and you're trying to grow and learn and you're trying to work on yourself, I will be here. I will continue to stay here and I will fight with you and I will fight for you.
The hardest thing that I had to do was swallow my pride, that that alpha male pride pill, and look at my kids and my wife, especially my kids, and say, Dad needs help. I went through inpatient program at the VA.
For 6 weeks.
6 weeks helped me out a lot. That's where I broke down. That's where I exposed things. That's where I found out and started to learn about feelings and emotions and understand them a little bit. I got the mental health under control. And then now I have the word of God in my hand. I have God behind me more. I'm with him. I have accepted him back. And I feel like I have created a new identity.
The Tuckers had tried several programs and retreats. They did help, but they didn't offer the community and the support that they needed. In search of a family and camaraderie, the Tuckers came across OHOP. And now looking back, they can see God's hand at work directing them.
I really honestly didn't know much about the program. Mm-hmm. It was just, we were still searching for that family, that camaraderie, that something to give us what hope. We have been looking for and give us guidance and to help us find our path in where we're trying to be in life.
And while you're in the military, you also have mentors. Once you get out, it's very hard to find a good mentor like that has good morals all the way around. Little did I know that I'd find my future mentor in Alaska, Chaplain Lou. He's brought me tremendous leaps and bounds in the last however many months since we've went, since I've met him. Every day I feel like I grow closer to God and he helps in many ways.
I think the most incredible thing is that everybody, for the most part, is so raw and real and humble, and they don't put themselves on a pedestal. Lou and Brenda and everybody are like, this is real. We're struggling too. We've struggled.
So talk to me about Alaska, because I feel like I said, you'd done the work, you'd been in counseling, you'd been doing, but it wasn't working. Because I think at the end of the day, you know, Christ is the only way to heal. But Alaska is a, like you said, a holistic and it's real. I mean, Paul tells us, you know, I boast in my weakness, you know, because it makes Christ, you know, elevated. And so everyone that's there, the staff, you know, they are emptied and let the Lord radiate. So, yeah, talk to me about spiritually what that week was like and what did it do for your marriage?
From day one, getting off the plane, everyone smiling, welcoming, warming. I mean, it was incredible. I mean, just it literally everything from fishing to eating to the services and sitting down with Lou and Brenda and talking with them whenever, you know, they do such an incredible job guiding all these couples. And Matt had tons of questions and we sat down with Lou and he did what he needed to do to make sure that he understood and explained it to him.
He was very blunt and honest.
Yeah. And I mean,
which is what I needed.
It was incredible. And we have stayed in contact with our group that went ever since.
One of my favorite parts of this program is so many people are becoming key leaders and, you know, they've gone through the program and now they're helping other people. And who better to help than someone that's been through it? Mm-hmm. So I guess I'd like for you to share, because I know there's been several people impacted by you and your testimony, but I know one in particular.
Kayla, my wife, got a message
February 1st.
On Facebook once I read it, I figured out who it was, but I don't remember him personally. Mm-hmm. I messaged him and asked him to write me a...
his story.
Yeah, his testimony slash story. So in January 24, I found myself in a very dark place. I had recently found out that one of my close buddies from deployment was found in his barracks room in Fort Hood because of death of suicide. It broke me and ripped the Band-Aid off years of trauma I had been keeping bottled up. I had always been a moderate to sometimes heavy drinker since coming home. This time, I just didn't care. I hoped that since I didn't have the courage to pull the trigger, perhaps I could just drink enough that I wouldn't wake up. In the early morning hours of February 1st, 24, I found myself in my dark living room, sitting on the couch with a bottle of whiskey and a loaded 45. I remember drunkenly saying out loud to God, "If you are real, then show me. Give me a reason not to pull this trigger. Nothing." I remember the feeling of the cold barrel against my head, but I still couldn't pull the trigger. I slumped over the couch and just wept, the hardest and loudest weeping I have ever experienced in my life. Later that morning, I was mindlessly scrolling on social media, looking up different things on veteran suicide. Somehow, I stumbled across Operation Heal Our Patriots on Twitter when I came to a post that was titled Army Sergeant First Class Matthew Tucker Braved the Cold Water of Lake Clark. I thought to myself, no way it has to be a different Matthew Tucker. No way my former savage drill sergeant was who I feared and revered is getting baptized. I clicked on the video and sure enough, it was him. I think I watched it like 3 times. I had not seen or heard my former drill sergeant in over a decade, but seeing this other side of him with his vulnerability was life-saving and motivating. Looking back, I believe it was God working in both our paths that made our paths cross again. I was able to reconnect with Matt through his wife, Kayla. Never in a million years would I have thought my former drill sergeant would be a part of my post-Army life and recovery journey, providing mentorship, motivation, and brotherhood. I do believe through God's divine grace and timing that Matt helped save my life. He was the first person I was able to open up to. I told him things I've never been able to talk about in therapy. He made me realize that if I'm never going to start healing, I need to be able to love myself first, and that PTSD needs to be treated just like any other injury, and that all the whiskey and pills in the world weren't going to take the pain away. Mm-hmm. Most important of all, he has helped me rekindle my relationship with the Lord. My recovery journey has only just begun, but I hope one day that I am able to pay it forward and help someone in the same way.
That's incredible. And that's where I just love, nothing is wasted. And you do. I mean, each person that comes has hundreds of people that they mm-hmm. walked with, you know, in their service. And so you are now ambassadors for Christ. Mm-hmm.
I love hearing how the Lord worked in Matt and Kayla's marriage and the impacts that OHOP is having on their family. But this impact is a ripple effect beyond their immediate family into extended family and the people in their past and present. And I love how Matt's baptism it saved one of his former soldier's life. Our story and our testimony of what God has done can make a difference in other people's lives. And the military brings so many people into your life. This bond, it lasts forever. And so when God transforms a veteran, they can impact so many more people. And this is why the ministry of Operation Heal Our Patriots is for life. As couples grow in their faith, they will continue to face hardships moving forward. And so this provides fellowship, training, and accountability. Matt and Kayla attended this reunion, and they shared how it helped them to attend the sessions and listen to the speakers.
I changed my classes the week that we went because our needs had changed, mm-hmm. and they were incredible. We had worked through things. We have come back to the same page, and it's just like every time, you know, Lou will reach out or someone from the group, something from OHOP or even Samaritan's Purse or whatever will just pop in, and it's like it brings us back, reminds us.
A veteran named Tim Lee spoke at the reunion. We'll play a clip from what he shared later in the episode, but what he said about giving 100% to the Lord really stuck out to Matt.
He said something that really made sense, that really sunk into my head. if you're 99% for God, that 1% means you're against him. So mm-hmm. you're either for mm-hmm. him or you're against mm-hmm. him. When you become baptized or you're a Christian, you're still going to commit those sins, but you have to be willing to accept and repent mm-hmm. for those sins that you made and recognize them. Mm-hmm. It's okay to make a mistake. It's okay. Just don't do them again and mm-hmm. understand that God forgives you and he's there to catch you when you fall.
And he knows your heart. He knows mm-hmm. if you're truly walking with him and for him, he knows your heart. Because nobody's perfect.
Tim Lee has spent the last 50 years preaching the gospel and pouring into fellow veterans. He grew up in a Christian home, but as he grew older, he rebelled, and he strayed away from the faith that he was taught growing up. But at a crossroads in his life, he joined the Marine Corps. I wish we could share all of it with you, but here's a portion of Tim's encouraging message.
You feel like you've messed up. You've shipwrecked. And you're thinking, there's no way that I can have a story. There's no way I can have a testimony. But I've got good news for you today. Number one, you're breathing air, and that means you're alive. And number two, my God is a God of a second chance. And sometimes a third, and sometimes a fourth, and even more, as some of us can testify. If you're not for the Lord, then you're against him. For the believer in this room today, for the Christian in this room today, there's no middle ground. Today, you're either helping the cause of Christ or you're hurting the cause of Christ. I had opportunity after opportunity to live for God. Mom sent me a Bible. On the inside of that Bible, she wrote several things to me up front. And then she wrote these words, Tim, this Bible can keep you from sin, or sin can keep you from this Bible. I put it at the bottom of my footlocker. I had no prayer life. I had no testimony. There's a black Marine in my squad by the name of Lee Gore. Lee and I flew to Vietnam on the same plane. We were the best of friends. He was a Christian, living for God. I was saved. But I was running from God. Many times I watched as he sat down on the edge of his rack and read his Bible, openly witnessed and talked to other Marines about the Lord. And I knew this was the story. I knew this was the testimony that I was supposed to have, but I wouldn't do it.
While serving in Vietnam, Tim stepped on a 60-pound landmine, and he lost both his legs. Lying on the ground in pain and anguish, his best friend, Lee by his side, Tim prayed, and he cried out to God for the first time in years.
And that day, I prayed. I didn't want to die. I wanted to live. I don't remember the whole prayer, but it was a simple prayer, something like these words, God, if you'll let me live and get back home to mom and dad, I'll do with my life what you want me to do. Well, I had made God promise after promise after promise, but I never meant it like I meant it that day.
Tim spent the next 8 months in the hospital undergoing surgery after surgery. But miraculously, Tim recovered. He went home to Illinois, and it was then that God called him to be a full-time pastor.
Imagine that. A Marine in a wheelchair with no legs, and God called me to preach. The past 52 plus years of my life have absolutely been the happiest years of my life. Today I'm in a wheelchair, but today I'm in the will of God. And that, my friend, makes all the difference in the world. Hey, you're saved today, but you're out of the will of God. You're running from God. I beg you, come home today. This is your day. I'm getting ready to say now the most important words I will have said here today. A little over 2,000 years ago, God sent his only son to this earth. God had one begotten son, Jesus Christ. He came to this earth, born of a virgin. And he lived on this earth for nearly 33 sinless, spotless years. He did no wrong. And then one day, he walked up Calvary's Hill willingly, laid down his life for your sins and for my sins and for the sins of the whole world. He hung on an old rugged cross suspended between heaven and earth. And on that cross, he shed his blood. And on that cross, he died. God's only son died. They took him off of that cross and they carried him and they put him in a borrowed tomb. And ladies and gentlemen, right here is what separates Christianity from every single religion on the face of the earth. For if you were to go to the place where they put the body of Jesus, you wouldn't find him. He's not there on the third day. He got up from the grave, victorious over sin, victorious over death, victorious over hell. And today, God's son is alive. Hey, that's the good news. Now, here's the great news. He wants to come and live in your life. I've sinned. We've all sinned. It's our sin that separates us from God. It's our sin that keeps us from having a right relationship with God. And it is our sin that would separate us from God for all of eternity in a horrible, terrible place called hell, except for the fact that a price was paid for our sins. God's only son paid the price for our sins on that cross. And today, if you're willing to repent of your sin, if you're willing to turn from your sin and turn to Jesus, listen to this. The very moment that you, by faith, say yes to Jesus, what are you saying yes to? To the cross, to the blood that was shed, to the death that was died, and to an empty tomb, to a risen Savior. The very moment that you, by faith, say yes, you become God's child forever.
God is using Tim's story in mighty ways, and he showed his faithfulness towards Tim. And I love how Tim doesn't shy away from the truth of the gospel. By grace, through faith, this can be your story too. My husband, Edward, he also spoke at Operation Heal Our Patriots reunion, and he talked about surrendering and the call of our lives as believers. He gave practical steps on how to move forward walking in faith.
Surrender is a very dirty word. In our culture, we don't surrender, do we, men? Do we, women? And so it is hard for us to surrender because we think we can do anything. I'm a sinner, just like everyone else in this room, but I have been redeemed. And I had to learn to surrender and give my life over to the Lord a long time ago. And fortunately, in the military, I knew I was going to see things and be a part of things that were much bigger than myself, just like you. But I learned to put them at the foot of the cross, to give them over to the Lord, that I could not handle them myself. And that's a little bit of what I want to talk to you about, the calling today. I'm here to tell you that surrendering and following Jesus Christ is an action. It takes work. Practicing our faith, that's where we put the work in, reading the Word, getting in the Word, being in accountability groups, being around other men and women that are going to push and encourage us should be uncomfortable. Men and women, you can't go back to your comfort zone. You can't go back doing the same things you were doing before. You're changed. You're a new creation, Scripture says. When you've surrendered your life, you're a new creation. All old things are cast away. Now, that doesn't mean those temptations and those addictions go away. We're not supposed to do this alone. There's about 1,500 people in this room, and I promise you, we all have the same calling. It's to serve and worship the Lord Jesus Christ, wherever we are and wherever he's placed us. But what my encouragement, what I want to ask you to pray about is, are you willing to get uncomfortable? Nothing that I've said tonight is going to change your heart. Only the gospel can.
Thank you for listening today. Please be praying for our Operation Heal Our Patriots couples. I've heard it said that combat is easy, but living is difficult. Their military battle is over, but we know that they will battle these memories and the impact of war for the rest of their life. And the only peace on earth is Jesus. And Jesus reminds us, saying, "I have told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." John 16:33. And so be praying for them as they find peace through Jesus.
But I also want to ask you, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you ever heard this love that God had for us, that he sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, and that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life, as it says in John 3:16. And as Tim asked, are you for him or are you against him? Are you being transformed and renewed by reading his word and praying? Has God called you to do something in your life and you're afraid to step out? I encourage you to take some time to reflect on these things. Pray and read God's word to see what he has for you in this season. And if hearing Matt and Kayla's story or listening to Tim or Edward stirred up questions, or you're questioning anything I just said about being a follower of Jesus, I encourage you to call the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association prayer line. The phone number is 888-388-2683. Someone is always available 24 hours a day to answer your call. We'll put the number in our show notes. Thank you again for listening today. Thank you for your prayers. I hope you have a great week.